You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
Come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
And welcome back to another Inside Ben Davis Football, live from the RVs across the street from the school. I'm your host, LeVon Durden, and joining me is Jeff Robinson. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Forward to talking to Coach Kirshner.
Of course, also joining us tonight is John Easter. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, and just like Jeff said, I'm interested to see what the coach has to say tonight.
And of course, last but not least,
in the hot seat tonight.
Yeah. Yep, in the hot seat tonight. Not as hot as some people would say, but none other than Coach Mike Kirshner. How are you doing?
Good. On a positive note, I just had a great order of curly fries hot off the oven and drinking a Diet Coke, and glad to be here. I wish it'd be different circumstances, but it's not, and it's why we coach, and that's why we move on.
Well, Of course, first question is just going to be, we want to see how you thought, or your overview of the game last week.
Well, and you guys were there. It's hard to explain sometimes. We didn't play well. I'm not going to sit here and do. We did some things well. We didn't do enough things well consistently to put ourselves in a position to win. And I say that in that we turned the ball over three times in the first quarter. We haven't had three turnovers in a game for the year, and we did it in the first quarter. You know, we come out and we force a turnover right away. Chaz Stringer makes a great pick. We're starting first and 10 at their 23. And, you know, in the 4 weeks leading to that, that's just a couple tosses here and there, and we score, and it's 7-0, and we're kind of rolling. And we threw a pick and gave it back to them. Our defense goes out and puts out the fire. We get the ball back. Our offense gets moving. I think we get a first down, I don't know, good run, fumble. All right, now we're backed up in our own territory of about our own 40. We stop them again. So I'm starting to think, okay, our offense will settle down. Our defense is playing pretty well right now. And we come out again, and we throw a pick. You know, and so and I don't care how long you coach, you put a team in where your back's to the wall enough, something bad's going to happen. Warren took advantage of it, as good teams do, and went up 6-0, and then our offense clicked. I mean, it was like, bam, they turned on the light, and we go down and score, and it's 7-6, and we stop them. We get the ball. We go down and score. It's 14-6, and you're kind of clicking. We stop them again. We get the ball with about 3 minutes to go, and probably wish we could have done that last little series differently. But we didn't. Ended up punting the ball back to them, which shouldn't have been a big deal, except they returned the punt back to our 38, you know, with enough time on the clock to drive it in and score and go for two and get it on an illegal play, but that's okay. You know, we had our discussion with the officials, but it was quite illegal. But, you know, so it's 14-14 at the half, and you're okay. You just come out first, you know, second, third quarter, and boom, hit them right away. Touchdown pass. You're up 21-14. And then we just stopped playing the game. And when I say that, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally. They run a jet sweep that we'd done a real good job the whole first half shutting down. And for whatever reason, the kid playing outside linebacker who had been staying outside the whole first half and shutting it down goes inside. Pew, they're down our sideline for 70. And you're like, why? Why would you do that? You know, you're watching film the next day. And you know, it's still, even then, it's 21-21 going in the fourth. And if you remember after they scored, we took the next drive to their 45 and stalled out, got the ball back, took the next drive to their 40 and stalled out. So we were clicking, we just weren't. And then to their credit, you know, we punted them deep, and we thought we had it down at the one. It turned out it came out to the 20, and they went on a long 15-play, 80-yard drive that just ate up the fourth quarter on us. And to their credit, they controlled the ball, they controlled the line of scrimmage, and got out of a third and long situation on a big pass and on a third and 14 that really would have gotten us out of the hole and maybe gotten it back. And but even then, you know, the last few weeks we've gotten the ball back before half with a couple minutes to go or the game, and you know, go back to the Pike game on Saturday, and we just we went out there and didn't do anything. I mean, couldn't throw it to the right person, got sacked, just completely out of sync. And I was just really frustrated because I just didn't think we came with the right mental focus to go into Warren Central and play the kind of game we would need to play in order to be successful.
You mentioned you looked at the film, and you and I talked on Saturday a little bit about the game. Whenever you looked at the tape there with the sound off, what were some things that maybe you didn't see from your position on the sideline that you picked up really from just looking at film?
Well, you always pick up different things looking at film. That's why you got guys in the box, guys, and the game happens so fast. You see, the biggest thing was our outside linebackers just not kind of filling the hole on the outside the way we'd been. And Warren, being what they are, took advantage of it with their jet package that they have, and their athletes are very fast. And I didn't think we tackled very well at times. I thought some guys kind of were on their heels instead of coming up. We're just kind of waiting. Offensively, we just misread some things. We had some bad snaps, missed blocks, and then when you start doing that, it starts going bad. You start guessing. The kids, just instead of being physical and reacting and playing, especially on the offensive line, we started guessing. All right, they're going to do this. No, they didn't do that. I didn't. And then it's too late. And they took advantage of it. So Warren's a good football program. I mean, they've won, I don't know, 11, 12 games in a row, defending state champ. And we're at their place, which is a tough place to go play. And with all that said, it's, you know, it's 21-21 with 8 minutes to go in the game. I mean, we're in the game. You know, it's not like we're getting blown out and we don't have a prayer of ever coming back.
Coach, you know, you talk about the offense and how it just seemed like you were a little bit out of sync. And one thing I noticed, we were on the visitor side kind of watching the team, and it would seem like you'd hit a big play and then you'd get up to the line. And usually where we've seen the team line up quickly and try to keep that pace going, it seemed like sometimes that pace just wasn't there that the offense has had. Was that something Warren was doing, or was that just not happening for the offense?
No, it had nothing to do with Warren. It had everything to do with us. We just were not. I even felt it in warm-ups. We were warming up. Our kicker, who's done a pretty good job kicking off all year, in warm-ups, couldn't kick the ball. This is not an exaggeration. He couldn't kick the ball 20 yards. It skimmed the ground, and his first kickoff went 15 yards, 12 yards. I mean, he couldn't kick. And the whole warm-up was just going through the motions. It was like there was no energy, and I don't get it. I mean I don't understand it, but and maybe that's my fault. I'm not a big motivational get in there and start screaming to get them going. You know, there's at some point that after about the first two or three plays, nobody remembers what you said anyway, and then you got to play. And so I don't know. Somebody asked me about the bus ride over. We've already made, you know, two road trips prior to this, so I didn't care about the bus ride. Bus ride was over. It was really pretty smooth. We got there in plenty of time. We went through our normal pregame routine. I'm trusting my job sometime to 16 and 17-year-old kids who don't quite think right. The same way I think. And you know, I get out there and I'm 54 and I'm ready to nail somebody.
I've been there.
And they're 16 going, well, I wonder if my girlfriend will be waiting for me when I get home. And I'm like, I don't care, you know. And you know, you hope we learn from it. You hope we pick it up and we move on. But it was from my standpoint, you know, I always look at myself. And, you know, that was the first thing we did as a staff on Saturday. Then our staff meeting again on Sunday, the first question, all right, what have I not done correctly to make sure this doesn't happen? And you know, we've thrown out some ideas and changed up a few things in practice, and we'll see if it makes a difference on Friday.
Well, one thing that I noticed that I've seen that kind of happened in third and fourth quarter, where you said that it almost seems like guys stopped playing ball, the issue that I was wondering was you had these drives that all of a sudden were stalling, but a lot of the times you kept on going to a screen play either to the left or to the right, and those plays would die the first two downs, and you would continue to go to them. Was this designed to stay with it and hope that you can finally get one open, or were you to resort to these because you couldn't get down the field?
Well, actually, to answer your question, it wasn't anything that we were resorting to. Every play is designed to have a built-in screen downfield or run. All right, I'm telling our trade secrets here. So even though what you think is we're running an intentional screen, that's purely based on the read of the quarterback, the receivers, and everything that goes into it. So did we make all the right reads? Did we run all the right routes? Did one of the screens, I know you can reference in the third quarter, it looked like it was just a complete bust. Wasn't supposed to be a screen. The receiver ran what he thought he was supposed to be running, and so it was a screw-up. And nobody's wrong, nobody's right. He just, again, 16-year-old kid ran the wrong route, and we're in trouble. And so from your perspective and the general population, even my wife who's questioning it, was like, why'd you throw that? Well, he threw it because there was supposed to be somebody there that wasn't there who didn't do this. And so there's a whole combination of things. And to the average person who's watching the game, it looks like dumb calls. But we literally, and Coach Ferris does a great job of self-scouting, he literally breaks down every call by formation, by defensive setup, and then decides, was that a good – and there was only three calls that we looked at and said, you know, we put the quarterback or the running back or the receiver in a bad position. The rest of them, if we do what we were supposed to do, we actually had what we wanted. We just didn't execute.
McKelty Williams went in and scored a couple touchdowns in the Wildcat formation. You thought you had a plan for stopping that. Where did that fall shy?
Well, I'll give you an example. There was his second touchdown that he scored. We had a blitz designed, and the linebacker just didn't blitz. If he blitzed, the play's dead. He stuffed it to five. Our linebacker stood there. He says, "I didn't remember," was kind of the answer we got. And we're like, see that, and that's what I'm saying. When you have that happen, there's a mental focus that didn't take place. And we don't know why. So you go back to the coaches. All right, did we not signal it correctly? Are they not getting the signals? Are they not echoing the calls? Well, what are we not doing that on that particular play we decided that we're just going to stand there? Which is even more frustrating because when you're on your own goal line, if you're a linebacker, you never stand. You're always right, wrong, or indifferent. You're going forward on the snap because you can't afford to give up yards. So. We got to look at our coaching staff and look at what we do and make sure we get this fixed.
When you look at Warren Central, obviously they're a team that I think is still looking for an identity to some degree on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively they're a pretty good football team. Were they what you expected to see from Warren on that given night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we knew their defense was good. They hadn't given up many points. In fact, 21's a bunch for them.
Yeah.
And you go back and look at even last year, giving up 21 points, and I know they did it a few other times last year, but by the time they got to the tournament, you know, Carmel scores 6, Center Grove scores 7. So, I mean, we felt like, bad as we played, in 3 interceptions and a fumble, we still threw 3 touchdowns. We threw for 200 yards, 16 of 27. He's still completing 58% of his passes against him. We rushed for 100 and some. We didn't run the ball well early. I thought we started getting some. But again, you know, there was some misreads. There was times we should have ran it that we picked it up and spotted and threw it, and times we should have thrown it and we gave it. And our O-line just kind of spit and sputtered. They weren't characteristic of what we're used to.
From a number of offensive plays, I believe I saw you were down to Warren by about 20 offensive plays.
Yeah, there was about 20 plays. In the fourth quarter, we only ran 6 plays because they ate up about 9 minutes of clock on that really long drive. And when you do that, you don't get the ball. And when we did get the ball, even me and Coach Ferris talking about this day, when we did get it, we didn't get any first downs. He goes, when you do get it, you got to move chains, and we couldn't move chains. And that becomes a problem.
I thought you hit it earlier. You said when it counted, Warren really picked themselves up and did a great job there at the end of the game.
No question. No question. All the credit to them.
Well, that's already going to be the first half here. Again, the final score was 28-21. The Giants did lose. When we come back, we'll get into homecoming night as the Giants get ready to take on Lawrence North right here from Giants Stadium. But first, a 30-second break here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings. On the web at ClassicKings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
And welcome back here to Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm LeVon Durden yet again. And joining us again is Jeff Robinson.
Yes.
John Easter.
LeVon, how are you?
Good. And Coach Mike Kirshner.
Good. Let's go. Got to be something else.
Well, moving ahead, it is finally week 5 of the season, so the halfway mark has been passed. And now it is getting ready for this Friday against LN. Now, over the past 2 years, LN has not been considered as one of the most competitive teams when playing in the MEC. Last year, you shut them out, and the year before that, 75-0 last year, 65-0 the year before that.
I actually flipped those.
But... okay, so flip those around. I got the numbers right, though, so yeah. Give me credit.
You did.
But over the past 2 weeks, all of a sudden, it's like it's a whole new Lawrence North team. They won their first game in 23 games against North Central. And then last week, they kept up with Carmel up until the second half. Is there a certain player or is there something on this team that's all of a sudden changed that you guys have been looking into when preparing for this Friday's homecoming game?
Well, Pat Mallory, the head coach, has done a great job in the year and a half he's been there convincing the kids that they can play in the MEC. I think their offense, they run the almost identical offense to Center Grove. So the people that came to the Center Grove game, you're going to get the same offense. They're very large up front. They got a sophomore offensive lineman that's 6'7", 335, 51. Don't know his name. Very good. He's 6'3", 270. 61 is good. 60 is good. They got a quarterback who manages the game. They don't throw very often. In fact, rarely. But he manages the game. Then what they do is they wear you down with these 6 running backs, 7, 8, 1, 2, 25, and 4. And they rotate these 6 kids in. 25 is 6'1", 210-pound blocking back who can run. 1 is just physical as can be. So if you guys remember Center Grove and Max Norris, number 15 for Center Grove, you're going to get the same kind of runner but with a little bit more speed. 4, 7, 8 all run their jet sweeps. So we're going to see some things very similar to what we just saw at Warren Friday night, the belly play. And here's what they do, and here's what they did to Carmel. Carmel came out and stopped them, got the ball really quick, scored in about 3 plays, 7-0. Lawrence North came out with the ball, put together this long drive, fumbled on their own Carmel's 30. Carmel scooped it and scored 7-0. Lawrence North comes out, runs 3 plays, punts. Carmel gets the ball on Lawrence North's 20, runs 3 plays, it's 14-0. And then Lawrence North puts his long, meticulous drive together, scores, makes it 14-7. Lawrence North gets the ball back, puts another long drive together, 14-14. And when I say long drive, they consume anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes of a quarter. They don't break the huddle until there's about 10 seconds to go. They walk to the line. They snap it. They're in no hurry to ever run out of bounds. They're in no hurry to run a play. They want the game to go as slow as ever possible. In fact, in their game with Carmel, between the two teams, there were only 110 actual offensive-defensive plays. Carmel didn't even run 30 offensive plays, all right, but scored 42 points because they don't let you have the ball. They just keep it away. So it's 14-14 with about 4 minutes going to game. Carmel had another one-play drive, made it 21-14. Lawrence North came out and fumbled. Carmel hit him again right before half. It's 28-14. Carmel scored 2 in the third quarter to make it 42-14. And then Lawrence North comes out in the fourth quarter, puts together an 18-play drive that eats up all but a minute and a half of the fourth quarter. And, I mean, it is. And here's the thing, and this is what we've been pounding on our kids this week. They had 5 fourth downs, Lawrence North, didn't they? They went for it all 5. Didn't matter where they're at on their own 20. They went for it on fourth down, and they got them every time, all right, which kept the clock moving longer and longer and longer. And so he's doing a great job of shortening the game. So his kids and their scheme is very, very good, and their linemen, like I said, are very big. And by doing that, they've reduced the number of possessions the other team gets, which gives them a chance.
We saw a few of the recent Lawrence North teams. There wasn't a lot of confidence in the players on the field. Talk about the difference for this year's team, Lawrence North team, by the fact that they got that rid of that losing streak they had by beating North Central.
There's no question they believe. You could watch it when they played Carmel. They think that they can play with anybody. And when you watch the game, why wouldn't you? You know, Carmel's 5-0. ranked number one in the state, depending on what poll you're looking at. And they're state runner-up last year. Kevin Wright has a great program, and they went toe-to-toe with them for four quarters. Well, physically, they match up with anybody. They're big, they're strong, and Pat's just done a great job of convincing those kids that this is where they belong and we're going to get better. And the thing that's really scary about them is they're only playing between their 22 starters. They're only playing three seniors. So everybody's back. What you see is exactly what you're going to get again next year, which is even scarier because they'll be bigger, stronger, faster, and they're going to be really, really dangerous.
I think I looked online, was trying to look up some of the names of some of their key offensive players. And every kid that I was finding was either a sophomore or a junior, yeah, including their quarterback, Jackson Hammers.
That's correct. That's correct. They've got a senior defensive line or senior offensive lineman. There's two seniors on offense, I think only one on defense. He's got 90 kids in his program, 9 through 12. I think he's got 12 seniors in the whole team. So really everything he's playing is coming back.
Coach, you know, I've seen that school of thought where you never punt the ball. You know, there is that coaching philosophy out there now, and I know some coaches have been quite successful with it, but they're typically much more up-tempo offenses and things like that. So what you're saying is Coach Mallory doesn't want to give you the ball, and he wants to keep it for as long as he possibly can so you can't do damage to them.
Right, you can't score if you don't have the ball. He punted the very first time against Carmel Friday night. Their very first three at their second possession was a three and out. And so they stalled out on their own 20, and he punted, and the punt, I'm not being critical, and their punt went 5 yards. I don't know what happened. I've seen film. He didn't punt at all against North Central. I've seen a few other films where he's punted a couple times, but the reality is, and we're just telling our kids, if he punts, he punts. We'll adjust, but assume we're playing for it on fourth down.
So I know you've been in situations before previously where you've coached teams that – you have to take what you have,
mm-hmm.
And he's clearly doing that at Lawrence North. He's taking what he has and trying to be successful with it. What's it like as a coach?
Well, it's tough because deep down inside, every one of us, our ultimate goal is to win. You know, our job is to take care of kids, help them graduate high school, get them to college. We do all that, but on Friday nights, our objective is to win. Our objective is not to be close. Our objective is not to have moral victories. You can sit there and say, "Well, you were close to Warren." Well, that's not good enough. I don't feel good about Friday. I didn't feel good Saturday when I talked to Jeff. I didn't feel good Sunday. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel good the first 15 minutes of this show talking about it. All right? I don't feel good. I've got a bad taste in my mouth. I hope the kids have a bad taste in their mouth. Our coaching staff's been dissecting it nine different ways to Sunday. And at the same time, we've been dissecting Lawrence North because their offenses are so similar. And so, we're working on this, trying to get better. And, I've been there with what Pat's dealing with. And I dealt with it at Cascade when I first got out there and in 96. And it's tough, you know. And you just keep punching and you keep trying to find a way to find the positives that they're doing. And they've got all kinds of positives. I don't know what they ended up rushing for Friday night, but it was – I'm sure it was 300 yards.
And Carmel's no slouch.
Oh, Carmel's really good, you know, which we get them next. So,
right.
So I don't know.
Well, one thing that you have mentioned has been the whole fact that they do like to hold the ball so long. Well, against Warren, that was kind of the same thing. Center Row was not too much different either. But out of all those teams, O-Lan is the one who, as you have said, likes to keep it for so long. How are you going to keep your players on defense from not – getting antsy, getting irritated, or even start forgetting some of their plays? And how do you also keep your offense from being so long off the court or off the field to be ready to go back in and play at their full potential again?
Yeah, if you go back to the Center Grove game, you'll find something similar that happened. And that Eric just was very controlling with the ball. You know, he threw a couple passes I think he wished he'd have had back. But they controlled the line of scrimmage. In fact, in that game, you know, even though we won 28-0, they actually ran more plays than we ran. They ran 68 plays, and I think we ran 50-something that night. So when you're a ball control offense, you got to be careful that you don't get yourself in a situation defensively that you give up the big play. They're going to get theirs. And in most teams at the high school level, if you have to go 80 yards, 4 yards – at a time. There's probably going to be a penalty. There might be a fumbled snap. There a ball's on the ground, whatever. It's just hard to stay consistent and keep doing that. And so you hope to take advantage of it when it comes. And we hope we get an advantage in the kicking game, although, you know, they kind of take that away from you. And here's how. They don't punt very often. Most of their kickoffs are onside or sky kicks where you just got to fair catch it and there's not much room for returns. You know, their kickoff return team's pretty good, so they've kind of reduced even that down to eliminate your potential for big plays.
One thing that we've kind of put in the background, this is homecoming week for Ben Davis. Almost every coach I think I've met seems to dread homecoming week to some extent.
Can't stand it.
Talk a little bit about how you keep players focused whenever there's these extra distractions.
Well, we don't talk about it. I mean, I'm just telling you, you know, I could sit here and say, I shouldn't say, Friday, Saturday morning at film session, I'm almost quoting myself here. This is what I said. It's homecoming week. Enjoy it. That's the last I'm going to talk about it because I don't want to dwell on it. I don't want them not to be involved in the activities because that's part of your high school activity, your high school experience. But at the same time, it is a distraction. You know, I got some players that are more concerned about how many votes they're getting for Homecoming King on whether or not, more so than if they're getting reps on Friday night. And I'm thinking, you know, when you get to be 20 years old, you're going to tell your son that the best part of Homecoming was we got beat, but I was the king? I mean, who cares? You know, I guess. I don't know. I was in high school once, too. But, you know, we just the one thing we will talk about as the week wears on is you don't want to come back 20 years from now and say you lost your homecoming game. You don't want to sit there with your son and say, well, Daddy, how'd you do at homecoming? Well, we got beat. Yeah, you want to tell him you won it. And I always tell the story. I can remember mine. We beat Lawrence North my senior year. It was like 44 to nothing, you know. I can remember it. We played it at, you know, at Warren's Field. And big dance afterwards. We have our dance the following night. But just kind of focus on the game, you know, and let everything else take care of itself. I will say this about the team, even though I didn't like our approach last Friday, they're a pretty level-headed bunch of kids. They don't get real emotional about a lot of things, but then again, they don't overthink things sometimes either.
When you look at Lawrence North, just how much, and you know, it's been nasty the last 4 or 5 years. Ben Davis, Lawrence North. We'll just put it out there. They've only scored some like I did the stat. I posted it out there. I think it's maybe 14 points a couple of times. And
well, 4 years ago, 2011, yeah, we made it to the Final Four. They beat us.
Yeah.
14 to 10 at their place.
Right.
Yeah.
But
because we've been to their place three of the last four.
But, I mean, you obviously, LeVon mentioned it last year, 65-0, 75-0 the year before. I think it was 44-14 the year before.
70.
44 to 10. Maybe
70 to 14.
Then 70 to 14 was
3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah. Well, that was down at Lucas Oil. When you look at how much Coach Mallory's made a difference, and I'm not, you know, obviously Tom Dilley's moved on and he's at Guerin Catholic now doing a great job there. So I'm not saying anything bad about him. But the program, to be fair, had kind of fallen into a hole.
Yeah.
I mean, how much, where are they? What's the progress report? How close are they? We were talking about this today. When you look at the MIC, you've got the five teams that on any given night can give you all sorts of trouble. I think you add in LC to that mix.
Definitely.
North Central's really struggling right now. Yeah. Lawrence North, though, is, I think, number seven on the list. How far are they from maybe moving up to number five, number four, number three, you know? How close are they to being a top MIC team?
Being that they're all so young, I think next year. I mean, I really do. You know, and you know, we're senior loaded. Warren's senior loaded. Carmel's senior loaded. But that's kind of the way our program has been built, and that's what I was alluding to his numbers. You know, he's got 90 kids and 12 seniors. Next year, he's going to have a senior class of 30 kids, which is what you got to have in order to play in the MIC. You got to be senior loaded. Next year, our senior class will have 50 kids again. So each year, we keep pulling out that next group of 2B seniors that we just kind of plug in and we go from there. And that's what he's getting to. And he knew that. You know, him and me talked last year before we got ready to play, and he said, I knew this was going to be a process. This wasn't going to be I'm going to come in, flip the program, and we're just going to go. I think he's getting it done. I think it's a credit to him and his staff. You know, he's got Ruben DeLuna used to be on our staff many years ago when Tom Allen was there coaching his defense, and he's a great football coach.
Coach down at Center Grove as well.
Coach down at Center Grove when they won state in 2008, and he's a great football coach. So they're going to get it done. It's just it's a matter of time, when I think the time will be here fairly quickly, where we're talking about them going, all right, you know, I've got to play Center Grove. I got to play Pike. I got to play Center Grove. I got to play Warren. I got to play Lawrence North. Oh, my God. I got to play Carmel. I mean, that's right. How it's ultimately going to be. And, you know, to sit here and say last year I was, oh, my God, we got. But to sit here and say we haven't worked really hard on getting ready, that's all we've done. You know, their offense scares us to death. The lack of a kicking game and ball possession scares us to death. And so we got to find a way to play better. We got to get up off the ground and get after it.
And I know we got to go, but truthfully, this doesn't seem like on paper a very good matchup. You've got your offense, which tends to like to move quickly, and their offense, which likes to move slowly
and control you.
The old tortoise and the hare here.
That's exactly right.
Well, Coach, we've reached that point in the night. Do you have any last words?
Yeah, I'm gonna just say it the way I feel. I thought Purple Rain kind of fizzled. As some people say, might have been a drizzle. Yeah. All right. I didn't think they showed up Friday night. You know, we got this, you know, rivalries game. It's considered Max Preps, one of the top games in the country. I'm doing interviews with radio guys in Los Angeles, California. And I get there and you know, I'm looking at their stands, which is packed to the hilt, and I'm looking at ours. And it's a good crowd. But, you know, if you're really going to be Purple Rain, make it rain. Don't drizzle, man. I don't need it.
Well, of course, this Friday night,
I'll
get crap for that.
Who could say it any better?
This Friday night, again, will be another homecoming game. So, as Coach Kirshner has obviously said, it's not drizzle. next Tuesday, we'll be back preparing for maybe one of the three biggest rivals against Ben Davis. Has the Carmel Greyhounds next week. Want to say thank you to Jeff Robinson, who joined us yet again, John Easter, for helping us make this possible, and, of course, Mike Kirshner, who we can't do without, and, of course, Corey
Johnson,
one of the three Corys we have. Want
expert
to say thank you again.
Preschool student wrangler Corey Johnson. We had him in the studio this morning when we had preschoolers visit, so he did a great job.
Well, that's all that's going to do it here for Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm going to send it back to the studio here on the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.